guest today is Richard Preston, an internationally acclaimed author who took on the daunting task of completing Michael Crichton's novel Micro after the author's unexpected death in 2008. Michael Crichton, of course, is the author of well-loved blockbusters that included Jurassic Park and The Andromeda Strain. He was also the creator of ER. Crichton is the only writer to have had a number one book, movie, and TV show simultaneously. Micro, his last work, is the story of a group of grad students hired by a shadowy biotech company to undertake secret research in the Hawaiian rainforest. In an unfinished introduction to Micro, Crichton wrote, "Perhaps the single most important lesson to be learned by direct experience is that the natural world, with all its elements and interconnections, represents a complex system, and therefore we cannot understand it, and we cannot predict its behavior." Richard, our guest, became interested in Ebola virus and emerging infectious diseases in 1992. The result was a New Yorker article, which later became the bestseller The Hot Zone, and that inspired the movie Outbreak, starring Dustin Hoffman and Rene Russo. Next came the Cobra event, which describes a fictional bioterror event in New York City. A copy of the Cobra event ended up in President Clinton's hand, and it purportedly kept him awake for nights. Word was that Clinton even discussed the book at a White House National Security Council meeting. When the 2001 anthrax terror event happened, bioterrorism became real. Preston decided to write a nonfiction book about bioterrorism and the smallpox virus. The Demon in the Freezer was published in 2002. Welcome, Richard. Thanks for joining us on the Book Report.
Hi, Elaine.
How did you get involved with finishing the manuscript of Micro?
Well, I got a call from Michael Crichton's agent. This was some months after he passed away. And I ended up going into New York and sitting down in a room with a fragment of the book. It ended up being about one-third of Micro. And I read through the pages. I saw a man working at White Heat, and a man who was incredibly excited about his topic, writing fast and furiously, with ideas bubbling up. But I later learned that Michael at the time had been extremely ill. He had throat cancer, but he had not disclosed this to anybody at the time, except for his very closest family members. And he was going into the hospital, getting chemotherapy, and bringing his laptop with him, and then writing Micro while he was getting chemotherapy. Then he'd come home and write some more. I can almost not imagine that, how difficult that must have been for him. But it also shows his commitment. And I saw that in the manuscript. So I thought, this is really cool. I mean, I could see this extremely cool, high concept beginning to emerge. So I wrote up a little proposal and ended up meeting with Michael's widow, Sherry Crichton, who brought out some notebooks that she showed me, two little notebooks and some sheets of paper on hotel stationery of Michael's jottings and scribblings about the book. She had not disclosed this material to anybody, not even to her own lawyer. And I read through this, and I could see that that Michael had some extremely cool ideas. So at that point, I just really wanted to write the book.
Well, you have a PhD from Princeton in English, so how did science snare you away from literature?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've always been a science freak ever since I was a kid. I used to go to the public library in my town, and I would read more science books than literary books as a little kid. And then later on, when I got my degree at Princeton, I studied with John McPhee, the New Yorker author, the very distinguished writing professor, and I got terribly interested in nonfiction writing. It's a way of, it's another way of bringing reality to readers without writing a novel. You can really do cool stuff with that, in science especially. So when I tackled writing Micro, I tackled it like a nonfiction assignment. In other words, I immersed myself in readings about insects and small creatures that inhabit the Hawaiian rainforest. I did pretty much what Michael Crichton himself did, which was he approached research with meticulous care.
Oh, and did you actually travel to Hawaii to the rainforest?
Oh, yeah. And I should probably, I don't want to give away the book, but I should probably tell you a little bit about it. So the story involves seven graduate students from the East Coast who end up in Hawaii in the hands of a sociopathic venture capitalist who has this giant machine that can actually shrink people down to half an inch tall. And then he abandons them in the rainforest of Oahu, and they have to find their way back home. It's a story, it's like out of the Odyssey, I suppose. And they encounter these absolutely horrifying challenges. If you think about insects, if you're half an inch tall, then some of these insects end up being armored monsters the size of Tyrannosaurus rex, armed with chemical weapons, and they're pretty difficult to deal with. So when I went to Hawaii, I brought a little magnifying glass with me, and I went out into the rainforest, and I got down on my hands and knees and lay on my stomach and looked around to see what I could see, to get a sense of what the environment and the setting was really like.
That's fascinating. Back in July of this year, I spoke with Jeffrey Deaver about the challenges he faced writing Carte Blanche, which was the newest title in the official James Bond series. Talk about your challenges, you know, working on this book of Michael Crichton and you.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Well, I had to sound like Michael Crichton, and I had to think like Michael Crichton. So I read a lot of his books. I went through them carefully, and I created a kind of cheat sheet for myself of his style points. You know, every author has style points, and Michael had a distinctive style. So I tried to systematically look at that and then duplicate it and tell the story in a Michael Crichton voice. So a lot of it is, because I'm a trained nonfiction writer, I've done a lot of interviews with people in which I have to recreate the voice of a character in one of my books. So I thought of this as another assignment like that, to try to essentially recreate the voice of Michael Crichton. I had quite a bit of help here. My help came from Michael's widow, Sherry Crichton, who went through the manuscript with me very carefully, as well as a woman named Bonnie Jordan, who was Michael Crichton's longtime personal assistant. They went through the manuscript carefully, and they were able to identify places where I was sounding too much like Richard Preston and not enough like Michael Crichton. They had a very good ear for that. For example, at one point, Bonnie Jordan said to me, you've got the word meanwhile in here. You know, Michael never used the word meanwhile. And I'm like, oh, really? He said, yeah, when he wrote a slam-bang narrative scene, there are no meanwhiles in Michael Crichton. Everything happens one event after another. And I said, yeah, you know, you're absolutely right, aren't you? So we went through the manuscript on a seek-and-destroy mission to take out every meanwhile. I had a lot of fun researching the science of the micro-world. And one of the things I found out is that the physics of the micro-world is very different if you're a half an inch tall. So, for example, the characters encounter ants. Now, think about ants if you're a half an inch tall. An ant nest is 10,000 creatures the size of pit bulls that are armored and are equipped with giant shearing mandibles that can cut your head off. Mm. However, humans that size are as strong as ants, so to speak. In other words, if we're shrunk down, we also acquire enormous strength, almost superhuman powers. So the humans, when they're dealing with these threats, these monsters, themselves are not without their own resources. And in addition to that, these kids, these students, have to figure out their own chemical weapons, their own weapons, and how to deal with them.
Thanks so much for joining us today. And Micro is one great read.
Thanks, Aline. Good to be with you.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.